Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you tonight and thank you. I thank you for bringing each person here. I thank you for the new faces, Lord, the new faces that are here. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to meet each one of us right where we are. God, thank you that you love it when we practice your word. You love it when we run to you, Lord, with our disappointments, with our hurt, Lord, with our crisis. And Father, I just lift this up tonight. Lord, just each person's crisis, Lord, little, big, it doesn't matter. It's real, and it's real to them. And so I ask that you meet us, God, right where we're at. And thank you. I ask you to speak to hearts and change lives. And I just bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tonight I did tonight's lesson just a little different. I'm trying new things. Those of you that have been with us since the very first meeting of the gathering, I said I just feel like this is something God put on my heart to do, and I'm trying to figure it out. And for those of you that are new, this is about your journey with God. And I would rather you walk away tonight and not take a note if you don't want to, but say, I'm going to work on that one thing she talked about and work on that all week. There are questions for you to ponder. And I think it's important that we look for ways to apply the Word of God, not just hear it, not just gain a head knowledge, but when we work it into our life, the fabric of our life, then we own it, and it comes into it's in our hearts. And that's, to me, in my life, how I've grown. But tonight, in our lesson, there are going to be questions for you to fill in a little bit as we go. And I will try to guide you in that and just see if we like it. You can give me feedback. Crisis in life, overcoming. How do we handle crisis in life? Because we all have them. Sometimes our crisis can be our car breaks down and, you know, all of a sudden we have a bill that we didn't expect. Other crisis in life can be life altering. There's, you know, financial crisis. I know when my late husband was battling cancer and he had to, of course, scale back and working. And in that, he was the primary breadwinner of our family. And I know that in that time, we were at the brink of a real financial crisis because his income had gone down and we still had the same mortgage and we had more bills because we were traveling. And It was hard. It was really hard. I thought, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. But the Lord took care of us in a lot of ways, and there were people that that helped in that time of need. And fortunately, he had some life insurance, and so it didn't leave me in a huge crisis. But it was difficult because our income, all of a sudden, I was in social work. So my income was significantly different after he was gone. Being a single mom, that can be a crisis because you've got a huge responsibility of raising children, providing for your kids, balancing everything, being a mom, being a dad. That can be a crisis. Maybe your crisis is your spouse has left you for somebody else. That's tough. Or maybe there's a sickness, or someone you love is sick. Watching my mom, watching my late husband suffer, both of them were sick for a while and then gone, and watching them slowly leave this earth, for lack of a better way of putting it, was something I walked through, but it was a crisis. Now, the beauty of that was I had time to say goodbye. And so that was certainly a gift, because I know some of you here haven't had that. Well, loss of a job. All of a sudden you lose a job. That's a crisis, because you don't have the financial means to take care of yourself and your family. Family difficulties or conflict. Does anybody have that? Does anybody have any family difficulties, or does anybody? Okay, good. I'm glad. Glad it's not just us. Work conflict or adversity in work. I know last year I retired from my job and I've remarried, for those of you that don't know me, and my husband has work down in South Texas, and so it really became difficult trying to balance all that. And so I was fortunate enough to retire from my job, but I do still work every now and then on a special project for him. And they said, "Hey, Kathleen, will you work on this National Day of Prayer breakfast?" I was like, "Yeah, I could do that, but I got to start in plenty of time." They said, "Okay, no problem." I not only showed up to do that, and they said, "And we've got all this help for you. The admin can help you. The college intern can help you. You know, this, all the." The admin quit. I was there like 2 or 3 days, and the admin quit. And I was like, "Really?" And that was to be my primary helper. And then the intern had some different projects and things at school. And so, you know, and her schoolwork in college comes first. And so there were times that she wasn't quite there. And the caregiver, I was overseeing care for my dad, for my husband's dad. And that caregiver quit because she had a crisis in her family. And I thought, it's too late. I've already signed up for this. You know, but it was my little crisis at that time. But in all that, when we begin to look at things from God's perspective, it can change. And I sat there at my desk after just seeing one thing after another. And then one of my husband's dear friends had a stroke, and he and his wife were in crisis. And so we were down in San Antonio, being there to support them in their time of need. So there's all kinds of crisis in our lives. Maybe your marriage is falling apart, and that's a crisis. Or your children make some wrong choices, and sometimes that puts us in a crisis. But the big key that I have found in my life, and what I share are things that I've gleaned and that the Lord has shown me as I've journeyed through some of my life crisis. Because I've always said, "Lord, I don't want to waste this pain." As Christians, we're not exempt from going through difficulty. We just get to go through it a different way when we choose to. And so the big key for me is, how are we going to perceive and look at our crisis? Because how we look at it determines so much. Your perspective is how you view something, how you see it. And our perspective then becomes our perception. It's how we process things. So how we look at something is very key. So the key in crisis, and this is one of your blanks, is seeing it from God's perspective. Our perception is our way of interpreting and our way of regarding it and looking at it. Our perspective is our attitude. What is our attitude going to be? Are we going to have a poor me, a complaining attitude, a whining? I know I've certainly been guilty of all of those. Are we going to see ourselves as a victim or a survivor? Or are we going to see ourselves as an overcomer? And that's part of what I want to share with you is just my own journey in the Lord showing me how I had a God-given right to overcome in the adversity that I have dealt with in my life and do still deal with. I mean, there's different stuff that happens. When I go to God and say, "God, how do you see this? I need your vision, because what I see does not look good." When I can go to Him and say, "Show me, show me how you see this. It can radically change things. When we can look at our situation and go to God, when we can look to Him, what God we see as a crisis, God can see as an opportunity for us. I want you to go to, and this is a scripture I think we talked about maybe last time. Let's go to Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. It's in the New Testament. So it's towards the back of your Bible. 8, 28. It says, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." Each one of you have been called according to His purpose. And this scripture promises that when we go to God in our crisis, when we go to Him and say, "I want you to work this for my good. I want you," for me, when I have gone to Him and said, "I want you to work in things in me that I need to learn, and I want you to work things out of me, that things that need to go, that are baggage, that are things that I don't need to be hauling around, whether it's unforgiveness or whatever." God promises He'll work it together for our good, but we have to partner with Him. And that's the beauty, is we can go to Him and say, "I need your perspective on this. It looks bad to me. Lord, I need to see it as you see it." So many times we can get stuck in looking at something with a negative aspect, and we can see it as a negative versus how God might want to work things in our lives. See, crisis, what I found is crisis or opportunity, whichever way you're going to look at it, are a discipline. And the discipline's in our mind. And how we look at it is going to determine if we're anxious or we're resting in God's love to help us through that challenge or crisis. What we can perceive as a crisis, God sees as an opportunity. And God allows in His wisdom what He can easily prevent in His power. That's one of your blanks to fill in. God allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent in His power. And that quote is from a man named Graham Cook. And when I heard that, it really soaked into my spirit, because I thought, Lord, you could prevent so many things, but you allow them. And I don't know why. See, when you get stuck on the why question, and I did that when my mom got sick and was very sick and had a rare autoimmune disease, and that's a whole different story in some of the other lessons. I got camped out on the why. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to my mom? Why is this happening to me? Because there were a lot of responsibilities I needed to help with when her. And if we focus on the why, we can get stuck versus what, God, do you want to work in me? And what do you want to work out of me? So in your current crisis, whatever it is, begin to ask God, what do you want to work in me, and what do you want to work out of me? Because you have a God-given right to overcome in any situation when you partner with God. That's one of the things. You have a God-given right, and I'm going to show you from Scripture. And you have a God-given right for an upgrade, for God to redeem that situation and turn it around. And I've seen Him do that time and time again in my life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. I was in a hurry today and walked out the door and left my big Bible, so I'm having to try to read this little one, which is my travel Bible, but it is smaller. Thanks, it says in 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. And when I read that one day, what hit me is God leads us to triumph. He's like, Kathleen, I'm going to lead you to get the better of this situation. I'm going to lead you to grow in me. I'm going to lead you and change you as you partner with me. But you have to follow. My husband and I love to dance. And it works well when I follow his lead. It does not work very well when I don't follow his lead. There are some of our dancing buddies in here, and I think you'd all agree. It's an art, ladies, to learn to follow. It's an art. Women might get that. But men have to get it too. In following, for all of us, following the Lord. And He'll lead us in triumph if we partner with Him. And that's the key, is partnering with Him. And that's where we're going to find the joy, is when we partner with Him, then it kind of becomes an adventure. Lord, how are you going to work this out? I can't wait to see. You know, in the situation and the disappointment that I had to really recognize, this is disappointing, and this really stung. Okay, I'm going to keep my heart right. I'm going to choose to forgive. But this morning as I was driving in, I was praying, Lord, I can't wait to see how you're going to redeem this situation, and I'm asking for the upgrade that I'm going to get, because there's an upgrade. And the Lord right there shows us He wants us to take His hand and partner with Him. And I firmly believe that we have that God-given ability to be overcome. We can overcome in our situations instead of being overwhelmed by your life circumstances. How many of you, and I know I have said it, and I try real hard not to say it. Sometimes I have to catch myself. But how many of you ever said, I'm so overwhelmed? The enemy loves for us to be overwhelmed. He loves for us to be anxious. He loves for our heart to not be at peace and rest. And we have a God-given right to overcome. And too many times we can be intimidated by our circumstances and stay in that anxious state. And, you know, for me at times, whining, complaining, self-pity, victim mentality. And Jesus paid a precious price for us to be able to have a relationship with Him and walk with Him. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you're not sure, please see me or see one of the team tonight. Don't walk out of here without Him, because I promise you, He is the one thing you can count on. He is the one thing. When we focus on the negative, it breeds fear, anxiety, and overwhelming feelings. And these are not from God. I'm going to tell a story, and I don't even know if Troy remembers this story, but everything was unraveling with my mom. I had just, we were finding out just some hard information, like her brain damage was irreversible, and, you know, there were a lot of things that weren't going to change, and it was such a hard pill for me to swallow. And I was at the Job Corps, I was dealing with women that were trying to get their life on track and learn skills, and I was a busy mom and a wife, and all of this stuff was happening. And Troy Faust called me one morning. He said, Kathleen, I was praying for you this morning, and he said, overwhelming feelings are not from God. Have a good day. Click. That's all he said. And I was like, okay. Because he doesn't always, you know, rarely calls me. He and Michelle are friends of ours. But that was, I knew it was from the Lord. And so I really had to ponder that, because the enemy was robbing me of peace and joy and strength, because I had a big job. And we all have big jobs. Wherever God has you right now in your job, you're planted. And there are things He wants you to do. Even if you don't, maybe you're a volunteer. Maybe you're retired and you're a volunteer. God has you planted where you're planted, in your family, in your community, because there's people He wants you to touch. I went in yesterday to just, one of my husband's businesses is a hunting business, and we lodge our people in Concan. And one of my jobs to help my husband is to get our lodging ready and to have it all ready for when the hunters come in. You know, everything's, you know, they've got peanuts, they've got candy, they've got, make them feel welcome. So I'm kind of the welcome wagon. So I show up and I go in there and I'm signing all these documents and getting the keys, and I'm trying to get back, you know, because I have an appointment. And this man walks in and he starts talking to another man. And he starts saying how he's just found out that he has, his cancer is back, and MD Anderson doesn't think that they have anything to help him. And I stopped right there. Now, my agenda is going because I have to be back to meet somebody. But I stopped right there and I thought, no, it's more important that I pray for this man right now and encourage him, because he needs an anchor of hope. And I've been down that road. And so I just walked over and introduced myself and said, I'm Kathleen Ramby, and you don't know me, but I overheard you and I've been down that walk. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And I was about to turn around and leave, and the Lord said, pray for him now. And I just looked at this tall man, and I just said, is it okay if I pray for you now? And he just wept as I prayed for him, because he's hanging between life and death right now. And I was, God put me right there at that time to do that. At that moment. So wherever you are, God has you planted and He wants to use you. I'm an ordinary girl. I promise you, if God can use me, He can use every person in here. When we focus on the negative, we empower fear, anxiety, and overwhelming feelings. And we don't have that luxury. There are too many times in life that life is happening, and it is happening fast. And that's why our focus has to be on God. Let's go to 1 John 5:4. This is one of my favorites that I remind myself of in times of crisis. 1 John 5 and verse 4. It says, for everyone born of God, what does it say? Somebody sound, what does it say? Overcomes the world. Let's read that again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Right there, God tells us that... that whoever is born of God, when you have a relationship with God, you have a God-given right to overcome and get the better. The word overcome, it means to get the better of the situation. And this scripture states that as children of God, that overcoming power resides within us. The definition, I'm going to repeat it again, of overcoming from the dictionary is to get the better of, or to get the victory over. Everyone loves to win. Don't you love to win? I mean, I love to win, whether it's cards or whatever. Everyone loves to win in life. We love to win. And yet we're going to have adversity. Let's go to John 16:33. If you have been sitting there and are in your situation saying, why me? Why is this going on? I've loved well, I've done this right, I've done that right. Why is this happening? Let me show you what John 16 says, because one of the enemy's big strategies in life is try to make us feel like we're the only ones that have gone through something like this, or we're the only ones that the devil is picking on. John 16, verse 33, it says, "In the world, you will have tribulation." Right there, it's real plain and simple. You're going to have trouble in this world. We live in a fallen world. We're going to go one day to a world that is perfect, heaven, when we have a relationship with the Lord. But in the world, that's where we're at. We're going to have tribulation. It says, "But take courage. I have overcome the world." Jesus, you know, he was hanging on the cross. And we talked in that in our last lesson about disappointments, how he was hanging on the cross and he said, "Why, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Even Jesus asked that question and God didn't answer him. And so many times we feel like we've been picked on, and that's just not true. We're going to have tribulation in the world, but it says, Jesus says, "I've overcome that world. I've overcome the world." And we have, when we have Christ in our hearts, we have that God-given power in us. And God is too good. He's too good to let us encounter problems without providing a provision for us. He's a God that when we have a problem and we go to him, he's going to provide what we need in that. In tribulation, that word is translated pressure. I think that's one of your things to fill in. The word for tribulation here, in the world you'll have tribulation. That means pressure. And it's in those times, those difficult times, that there's pressure on us. And so my question is, what's going to come out in those times of pressure? What is going to come out in those times of pressure? What's going to come out of you? Yes, if we don't keep our focus on the Lord, and if we don't go to the Lord and say, how do you see us? See, I've discovered that life is more about finding the provision in tribulation instead of fixing the problem. And when I go to the Lord and say, "I need to see this as you see it, because I see it as a disaster, a mess, something I could never overcome. I could never get over the death of my late husband." I felt like my heart was never going to quit hurting. I really did. And in that journey, the Lord began to show me, "You are an overcomer. I'm going to heal your broken heart, but you've got to partner with me and walk with me in this. Don't waste your crisis. Don't waste it." It's more about what you can learn in that journey. My dad, I remember I had just remarried. In fact, Steve and I will have our 6th anniversary this weekend. Just remarried, and he had to be out of town on business, and my dad got sick, and I took my dad to the hospital, and they began to run all these tests. And at the end of the day, the doctor came in and he said, "Kathleen, your dad has, Mr. Jones, your dad, you know, you've got metastatic bone cancer and you've got 3 months to live because it's everywhere." And I sat there, you know, it was like something hit me in the stomach to get that kind of news. And there was my feeble daddy, but we knew why he had become feeble. He was 6'2", and then he was just like my size, you know, and I'm 5'3". And so Daddy and I tried to process that. Mom is at home. She's been sick for a while. She's an invalid. I had 24-hour care for her, the caregiver for her, taking care of while I was dealing with Dad. So there was a little tribulation in my life. And the next morning, the phone rang at 7:30,
And the caregiver said, Kathleen, you need to get over here to the house fast. It's your mom. And I took a deep breath, threw my clothes on, and was headed over there. And I thought, Mom's gone. There's just something in my spirit. It was like the Lord was saying, it's okay, but you're going to go in there. And I walked in there, and sure enough, my mom was gone. And so I began to call hospice and began to get just the ball rolling in that area. And we did that. My dad's calling, when are you getting up here? I said, Dad will be up there in a minute, be up there in a minute. And I had to turn around and walk into the hospital room after I dealt with Mom and tell my dad that my mom was gone. And they've been married 56 years. Now that was a little bit of pressure at that moment because I'm trying to coordinate calling my siblings. I'm trying to deal with all of that. And yet I can't tell you how the presence of God was there because I just said, Lord, you've got to show me how you see this. And he's like, just take my hand. Just take my hand. Okay. Just take my hand. Okay. Just take my hand. And it was a journey. When you walk in your crisis with the Lord and coming out on the other side of that, there's a confidence in me. There's an unshakable confidence because I've seen God's faithfulness and who he wants to be for me when times have been tough. Now, that was a lot to deal with. You know, and somehow I thought after I'd lost my first husband, I thought, okay, all right, there we are, okay. And we can put our hope in people. Well, I thought, okay, now I've got a husband and he's going to help me. Well, he wasn't around when I really needed that. I had to call. And it wasn't his fault. I had to call. And he was in a remote part of West Texas. I had to get somebody to find him for me because he didn't have cell service. God teaches us. He wants to help us overcome. We can overcome. And a lot of what I share today has been birthed out of those crises and those things, and when I've seen them as an opportunity and not just the end of the world. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 4. First John 4, 4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You, dear children, you, dear Deborah, dear Mary Lou, you, dear Carol, are from God and have overcome them. You have overcoming power residing in you. And greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Nothing is greater than the power of God in you to overcome in a situation. I think that's one of your blanks. Nothing is greater than the power of God in you to overcome. And for us, it's drawing on that strength that is in us to rise up. You and I never have to settle for defeat. We don't. Because when we walk with God, he is going to show us how to overcome. But it's a discipline because our mind and I think our culture too. And I lived such a big part of my life thinking it was okay to be stressed out. I just thought when you have stress, you should be stressed out. And the Lord began to show me that that wasn't what he had for me. So when we find ourselves, the first thing we have to do in a crisis, and that I have found, is ask God for his thoughts. That's number one. Ask God for his thoughts. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Why do we need to ask God for his thoughts? Well, I'm going to show you what I found. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts,
Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Right there, God tells us that his thoughts are a little bit greater than ours. That's why we have to go to him. Lord, show me how you see this. Maybe your marriage difficulty is because there are things he wants to change in you. I know when our marriage, with my marriage with my late husband, we went through about 7 years that were tough. And I'm telling you, I kept wanting him to change and wanting him to change and praying for him to change. And finally, the Lord said, nah, when you look at you, you're going to get somewhere. Because I was frustrated. And when I began to look at what could I change, we all have choices. Don't think you don't have choices. You've got choices. You've got choices in how you are going to go through something. And so it's important that we get God's perspective and that we partner with him, because then we don't waste our difficulties. And sometimes our spouse can be the one that fine-tunes us. Anybody else had that happen? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. But we can ask God for his thoughts. Let me show you in 2 Kings another reason. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 6. Here's another good reason. I could talk about this for a whole lesson, but I'm not going to. 6 in verse 16 and 17. Says, do not, there was a whole army surrounding the people of God. And it says, do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than that are with him. And Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. See, this servant had run to Elijah and was telling him, oh my word, look at the mountain. There's people everywhere. The army is vast. It's about to get us. But Elijah had seen it from God's perspective. And so he had the faith. And he says right here, and Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills of horses and chariots of fire that surrounded him. God had provided for Elijah in his time of need. So when we go to God, then we're going to have a godly perspective, and we're going to be able to handle things a whole lot better. And the next thing I found in my life was when I gave God permission to change me and my thoughts. Because we can think we'll have it right. And one of my favorite prayers in situations when there is adversity or difficulty is, God, change my heart or change theirs. Change my heart or change theirs. We had, that's a key one, key prayer. And it puts you in a win-win situation. Our daughter at one time was in... engaged to a man, and he was a good guy, but we just didn't quite feel like he was the right one for our daughter. And yet we had raised our daughter to be independent and to hear from God. And so, you know, when your kids grow up, there's that part of releasing them, and that's where the rubber meets the road for us, is trusting God. And we said that to both of them. You know, we're just not quite sure. We would encourage you to wait. And in that time, we were praying, God, change our heart or change her heart, their heart. God, change our heart, change their heart. And I'm telling you, we had that wedding planned. For 9 months, we planned that wedding. We had everything done, but the invitation sent out. And one day, my daughter walked in the house and burst into tears. And she said, it's over. We broke up. God changed her heart. And she later told me, she said, I was wrestling with it that whole time. But she said, Mom, the more that you just empowered me
And I would tell her, you know, sweetheart, we love you. We are not going to control your life. We trust God in you. If he's the one, God's going to confirm it. And if he's not, God's going to show you. And as we released her, God could speak to her. And she saw that. So when we pray that prayer, God change my heart or change theirs, it puts us in a win-win situation. The next thing in crisis is I think it's important that we just look at what is the next step we need to take. So many times we are trying to figure it all out. We want to have the big picture. And I know with the gathering, I'll be honest with you, I kept wanting to have all the pieces together. And finally one day the Lord said, as you walk with me, I'm going to show you how to do it, Kathleen. I was wanting to have everything figured out. I was wanting to have all my lessons done and all my questions done and every answer to how this was going to flow. But it's been a journey for me of just taking one step at a time with the Lord. So it's important that we take just one step at a time in our lives. That keeps us from being overwhelmed. If you try to look at everything you have to do, oftentimes that's when the overwhelming feelings come in. If you just look at, what do I have to do today? What do I need to do this week? Sometimes this week is overwhelming, you know. But when we can wake up and just say, okay, what do we do? How do I do this just today? You know, God oftentimes speaks to me in music. And I remember one day, and this was right when my husband was diagnosed with cancer. I was driven up to the gym. And this song came on the radio, and it said, the words were kind of, hurry up and wait, so far, so close and yet so far away. And then the words of the song were, just one step at a time. As we take one step at a time with the Lord, he's going to show us. And that was a real grounding thing for me, because it was a lot of information when we showed up at MD Anderson and all the this and that and going to this doctor and that doctor and one thing after another. But when I looked at I thought, I can't see myself, how's this going to work for a long period of time? Where's the money going to come from? How is this going to happen? How's that? But when I looked at, what do I need to do today? Okay, we need to drive to Houston. Okay, I can do that. Okay, what do we need? What's the next step? When we look at things at just one step at a time, then we're going to keep our peace, because God doesn't give us a whole package of strength. He gives us what we need each day as we walk with him. And that's where the discipline is. That's where the intense discipline is, I think, in times of crisis. Another key for me I have found is to begin to thank God. Overcoming any problem begins with a grateful heart. And I think when we can begin to thank God, if your crisis, when you can just thank God for what is right in front of you, and it sometimes it's hard. I remember as we were walking around in MD Anderson, and I was looking for things to be grateful for. I remember there was a mother pushing her child in a wheelchair, and I was like, well, Lord, thank you that Joe's not in a wheelchair at this point in time. Thank you that I'm not pushing a child. You know, I had to look for things to be grateful for. And when Thanksgiving keeps our heart right, it keeps us from being anxious. And that brings peace. And that's, you know, that's Philippians 3. That's in, it talks about that. When we focus on God and we put our eyes on him, it helps fear to not grip us. I'm going to share another scripture with you in Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, where did it go? One of my favorites. Psalm 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my
tongue rejoices, and my body shall rest secure. When we set our eyes on God in our time of trouble, when we set our vision, when we ask Him for His perspective, when we partner with Him, it puts us in a win-win situation. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Fabulous story here. I might speak on this the next, after the first of the year. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. And again, there was a big war. That's the cliff notes of this. It says, and the army had surrounded. How many of you feel like sometimes that things have just surrounded you? It's like you have this happening and that happening and you have this happening. You know, it's one thing after another to where you're just like catching your breath, you know? I mean, we've had that in our family. Been helping with my husband's father and got in there and thought, okay, well, I can get a few things. He's been ill, real ill, and I found out that his wife was sick too. And we are trying to manage this, and I'm getting caregivers and getting Meals on Wheels and getting hospice and getting all of this done in Uvalde, which is a little bit difficult in Kerrville. I know how to do it, and there I'm figuring it out. And about that time, my husband's mother calls, and her husband is in the hospital in San Antonio, and they've just found out he has pancreatic cancer. And I just looked at my husband, and I said, we have to go. I've been the wife that's got that kind of news. We've got to stop right now, put your dad and your stepmom on hold, and we've got to go down to San Antonio. And her husband was gone in 3 weeks. So crisis can hit. It doesn't just show up one at a time and wait for it to be convenient for you. It shows up at times when we don't expect it, and sometimes it shows up in droves. But this right here in 2 Chronicles, I love this. It says, for we have no power against the vast army that has come against us. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. When we put our eyes, have y'all seen that? There's a movie and the dad goes, what is that? That's not Father of the Bride. What movie is that? Y'all know which one I'm talking about. But the dad, you know, the boyfriend shows up and the dad goes, in other words, I am watching you. When we put our gaze on the Lord, then it's going to help us stay steady in the times of crisis and in the times of storm. When we try to look at all of it, it's good. That's when we're going to be tossed around by the waves. Something's always going to be magnified, and you get to choose. Are you going to magnify God? Are you going to look to God in your crisis? Are you going to look at your problem? And when we see it from God's perspective as an opportunity for us to grow, for us to change, for us to be conformed to His image, it's going to put us in a win-win situation. Being empowered in our thinking guarantees our outcome. God wants you refreshed. He wants you encouraged. He wants you peaceful. And so for me, when I find that I'm not encouraged, I'm not peaceful, I'm weary. You know, the enemy tries to make us weary. And sometimes when we have one thing after another, we need another friend to pray with us and help us to gain our equilibrium and get back to where we need to be. And that's important in life, to have other people that you can call and say, hey, I need you to pray with me about this because I'm struggling in this. That's what friends are for. That's what people are for. That's what we're here for. All of the team on the gathering is here to help support you and pray with you. You can email me. You can call me. You've got my contact information. It's right out there. Don't go through your crisis alone. I can't fix it, but I can sure take you to the one that can and help you get a perspective, God's perspective. And it's not because I'm a rocket scientist or smart. It's because I've been a girl that's been through my share of adversity, and I don't want to waste it.
times of crisis can be times that we really have to focus and be disciplined. And sometimes it's about just breathing. Sometimes we just have to step back and take a good deep breath. I mean, breathing deep can really, psychologically, it can help you. And there are times when you're going through stuff and it's hitting you, just like the, what I was telling you about my in-laws, when it's hitting you that fast and you're having to go from one thing to the next in your life, it can take the breath out of you. And that's when we have the opportunity to get our strength from the Lord. I'm going to close tonight with a song. And it's called God, I Look to You and I Won't Be Overwhelmed. It's by Bethel, and I'm gonna play it for you. Let me see right here.